In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're on Luisa Picaretta, the Mediatrix of All Divine Life, Part 1, page 4, Volume 13, 11, 8, 21. So Jesus adds, blessed are you, Luisa, and all generations shall call you blessed. So here we know that Luisa is going to be made blessed. And, you know, we see this in volume 13, 11, 8, 28, 11, 8, 21. So we know that this is a prophecy of Jesus, that Luisa will be made blessed. Because she is not blessed yet, what we should be praying for, and we're working on that right now, is a command prayer that she be made venerable. So we want to pray for her, that the church will make her venerable. So she'll be the venerable servant of God, Luisa Picaretta. And what they've said is that by the end of next year, she would be possibly made blessed. So we want to have confidence in what God is doing. He's bringing about this glorification of Luisa. Once she's made blessed, once all her writings are read throughout the world, it will be a new beginning for everyone and for everything. And this is the great part. The divine will is so important that as we read this, as we study these 36 volumes, everything in the world changes. Our families change, our neighbors, our coworkers, everything's changing. In the church, there's great changes that are occurring. So the more that we read, again, the sooner this is going to happen. And that's what God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to enter into this gift. So when we look at what God has given us, He's given us this great opportunity to have the Holy Spirit teach us all truths, number one, and the Holy Spirit revealing to us everything that Jesus has said. So if you think about it, you know, Jesus spoke 3 years on earth to the apostles, and the kingdom of redemption took place. And they wrote the Gospels, and, you know, the epistles were out, and the face of the earth has been changed because of Jesus, the Messiah. But now more so, he says, the whole reason for redemption, whole reason for creation, was to bring us back to the Father, the womb of the Father, so that the kingdom can be established in us on earth as the saints possess it in heaven. So there's no difference between heaven and earth. And that's what God has got planned. So he's looking at us to believe him, first of all, what he spoke to Luisa, and begin to bring about a new beginning for all the world, not just for our families, not just for our friends and neighbors and coworkers, but for all the world. So again, this is a great message to, you know, put on your mirror in your bathroom, with Jesus saying, blessed are you, Luisa, and all generations will call you blessed. So she is going to be known as Blessed Luisa. So he says, my arm, Jesus says, shall make works of power in you, Luisa. So it's not Luisa. It's Jesus who's going to perform these works. The power that we see in, especially the command prayer, is Jesus is doing this, and he's already prophesied about this. There's going to be much power that comes through Luisa, and as we pray the command prayer, as we get closer to Luisa, we can be sure of complete confidence in God that he is going to answer our prayers. So there's going to be great power found in Luisa, and it's the power of Jesus. It's not Luisa, it's Jesus. And so this is what he says. You shall be the divine reflection, and you, because of you being the divine reflection, you will fill the whole earth. And then you, Louisa, shall make me, God, receive from all human generations that glory which they now deny me, deny to God. So here's another great title of Louisa. Louisa, the divine reflection. This is a human. The mother of God is the divine reflection. But now Jesus is saying a human, one born of original sin, is also now a divine reflection. And because of Louisa, because of this human, the whole earth is going to be filled with God, with the reflection of God. Okay, so when you think of volume 1 through volume 10, how to become a divine mirror of Jesus, this is a divine reflection. Volume 11 through volume 19, how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, basically, to live in the divine will, which is a divine reflection. And then finally, from 20 through 36, how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father, which again is the divine reflection. So of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the one human who possesses this is Louisa. Jesus possesses it as the Son of God. Mary possesses it as the Mother of God, the new Adam and the new Eve. And now they have a newborn, Louisa, who also possesses this divine reflection. And this is so important for us to understand. The saints showed a divine, the saints showed a human sanctity, a human holiness, a human goodness. Because even the saints, the church teaches that some of the saints had to go to purgatory to amend, you know, their life, you know, some of the things that they didn't amend on earth. So here it is. Jesus is saying, Louisa, you shall be the divine reflection filling the whole earth. And you, Louisa, this divine reflection, shall make me, Jesus, receive from all human generations that glory which they have denied to God. So she's going to bring about the renewal of the face of the earth. Isn't that funny? Always something, isn't it? There. Okay, so what we have here is, a new beginning because of Louisa. So think about it. When Louisa becomes venerable, when Louisa becomes the venerable servant of God, we know that this is probably the reason why they're moving her body from the side of the church to the front of the church to the chapel of the Holy Spirit. They're getting ready. So we have to pray now for her to be named venerable. Why? So that she can be named blessed. And this will change the face of the earth. At that point, her writings will be given out to all the world. So again, our God is asking us to understand, you know, Louisa is just not good or holy or saintly. She's a divine reflection of God. That's not a human reflection of God, but a divine reflection of God. So he says, so Louisa says, I'm hearing this, I remain confused, annihilated, and I did not want to write. So the confusion was more like overwhelmed. You know, it's another way. She was overwhelmed. She was confused. She was annihilated. She says, you know, I don't want to write this down. Now, you have to remember, that's Louisa. Louisa did not want to write anything down. She was very, very humble. And again, it shows us why God chose her. You hear people today, they have a locution or apparition or vision, and they want to publish it. They want to publicize it. And not Louisa. She says, on hearing this, I remained confused and annihilated. I did not want to write this down. And Jesus, caressing me, told me, no, you shall write this down. I, God, want it. So here, the repulsion that Louisa has of writing about herself, because, you know, she believed she was nothing. Jesus says, you have to do this. You have to write down what I just told you. You are the divine reflection. You are going to fill the whole earth. You are going to make God receive from all human generations the glory which all human generations have denied to God. Jesus says this, I, God myself, I wanted to pay the just homage that befits the sanctity of my most holy divine will. So Jesus is saying that he's putting his signature on this. It's very, 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 very clear. I want it, and what I said shall serve as honor of my divine will. I myself wanted to pay the just homage. I want, as God, the world to know who you are. That's what he's saying. This sanctity that befits my divine will. And then he says this, which is so great, and it just gives us a glimpse of Louisa. He says, I, as God, said nothing compared to what I could say about you, Louisa. So when you think about that, who is this Louisa Picaretta? A human who basically is the divine reflection of God, fills the whole earth, makes every human being that has ever lived and is living and who will ever live give the glory that's due to God. She's the one that's done this. And Jesus says, I want you to write this down. I want everybody to read this. I want them, this is going to serve as to honor, be the honor of my divine will. I want, as God, I want to pay this just homage, which befits the sanctity of my divine will. And that's you, Louisa Picaretta. You, he says, are the divine reflection, he says. But, he says, I, as God, have said nothing compared to what I could say about you. So that's why, you know, you have the 2,200 titles that Jesus gave to Louisa. That's very good to reflect on, because even those 2,200 titles of Louisa cannot compare to who she is. These are titles. Yet, who is this Louisa Picaretta that God says? See, you have to understand, he said, as God, he knew Adam would sin. As God, he knew Adam would fall. And he says, but I have chosen from the beginning of time, Louisa, where all the world, all that God created in creation, all that God did in redemption, was for her benefit. And then he says, when the church prays the Our Father, they're praying to you, Louisa, that you begin to live in this divine will so that the kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven. Again, this is going to rewrite, if you want to say, everything in the church. Because what we base everything on now is the life of the saints, the spirituality of the saints. They have no idea who Louisa is. You know, they have no idea. I remember with Acuna, I've mentioned this before, but I said, when they moved the body, I said, I want to be there to reach in and grab a bone of Louisa, you know, a rib cage or anything, you know. And Acuna started laughing and he says, do you think that's Louisa? And I said, well, who else would it be? And he laughed. He says, do you think that's Louisa? And I'm going, what are you saying? You know, and he's laughing. He says, do you think that is Louisa? And what he understood was Louisa's more than flesh and bones. Louisa's the one who, because of her, because of Jesus and Mary, they now have a newborn, Louisa, the firstborn in the divine will, to share in divinity. So when you think about entering into the Son of the divine will, S-U-N of the divine will, that's Louisa. She participates in the Son of the divine will. Just think about our Son, which can't even compare to the Son of the divine will. Louisa participates in that, and God is asking us to let go of everything to be with Louisa. It's our free will to choose what we want. Most people will not choose that. With us, it has to be fiat. It has to be, yes, I want what God has given to Louisa. It's like when the angel came to Our Lady and said, "You'll be the mother of God." She says, "How can this be? I don't know man." You know, and the angel explains it will be through the power of the Holy Spirit. Then she says, "Let it be done to me as you say." Total fiat. And the same thing here. The divine will is to let God be God. It's to be so nothing that God has His way with us. And that's what that's why this paragraph here is so important. I, God, have said nothing compared to what I, God, could say about you, Louisa Picaretta. Now you have to remember, when God speaks, that word is infinite. It's a divine life that never ends. So if He says, if I wanted to speak about you, he said, probably the world would be shocked. It's not that Louisa's God, but she is the divine mirror of Jesus. She possesses the living in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit, and she has received the divine inheritance of the Father. And our response should be in awe of that. So volume 13, 11, 19, 1921. But do you know who prevented the execution and sustained my humanity from dying? First, he says, was my inseparable mother Mary. In hearing me ask for help, Our Lady flew to my side and sustained me. And I leaned my right arm on her, almost dying. I looked at her, and I found in her the immensity of my most holy divine will intact, without ever a break between my most holy divine will and hers. And my will, divine will, is life. And since the will of the Father was immovable, and death was coming to me from creatures, another creature who enclosed the life of my divine will gave me, he says, life. Sorry, I couldn't see that word. And here is my mama, who in the portent, here is the portent of my divine will. She conceived me, she gave birth to me in time, and now Our Lady is giving life for the second time to let me accomplish the work of redemption. So he says, without the Blessed Mother, you know, he was being overwhelmed with death. He was being overwhelmed. He died for every one of us. He went through every sin that we have committed, every thought, every word, every deed, and repaired for every human being. So he basically says, because of his mother, she enclosed in divine life of his divine will and gave me life and conceived me and gave me birth and now gives me life for a second time. Why? To accomplish the work of redemption. So you can see how overwhelming this God, Jesus, he gave up his life as God to swap for our eternal death. And it was so horrible that without the Blessed Mother, he would have died. And then he says this, and then I looked to my left and I found the little daughter of my divine will. I found you, Louisa, as the first, followed by other daughters of my divine will. So what God is going to show us is if we're faithful to the writings that Jesus gave to Louisa. I remember he spoke 3 years to the apostles. He spoke 64 years to Louisa. I mean, think about that. Look, 3 years to the apostles, and they found it hard to believe him. And they only believed after he died and rose from the dead. That's when they believed. Yet with Louisa, she believed. So from the moment he started speaking to her, she was obedient. And he spoke to her for 64 years, you know, while she was in bed. I mean, it was even before that and after that. But what we see is if redemption took place, and it took 3 years of Jesus speaking. Sanctification took 64 years of speaking, where she writes everything down for us. As we read this, as we study this, as we put this into practice, we have to understand that this is not good or holy or saintly. I mean, that's what the apostles followed when Jesus spoke to them in a good, saintly, and holy way. But it was all human. Well, now Jesus is speaking to us directly because of what Louise has written. So how much more God has in store? That's why he says, Scripture says, no eye has seen, no ears heard what's going to happen to those who love God. And that's why he says to Louisa, I'm going to perform unheard of prodigies for those who want to live in the divine will. So when we look at all of this, and then especially with Our Lady of Revelation saying time has now come to an end, time and space happened because of the fall of Adam. As Our Lady said of Our Lady of Revelation to Bruno, her children have to live in eternity. That's where we're supposed to be, in eternity, not trapped in time and space. So as we read this, as we study this book of heaven, everything changes for us. And that's the way he's telling us this. He says, I found you, Louisa, as the first, followed by other daughters of my divine will. And daughters, the feminine is the human soul, whether it's masculine or feminine. The human soul is feminine, because when Christ says he's going to marry his bride, the church, it's collectively but also individually. So it's the feminine side, if you want to say, of the divine. Since I, God, wanted my mama with me as the first link of mercy, through which we were to open the doors to all creatures, I, God, wanted to lean my right arm on her. And as I, God, wanted you as the first link of divine justice to prevent it from unloading itself upon all creatures as they deserve, therefore, I wanted to lean my left arm on you, Louisa, so that you may sustain it together with me. So here this is why when you have a picture of Jesus, you should, on Jesus' right side should be the Blessed Mother, and Jesus' left side should be Louisa. In the Old Testament, it was Jesus, Mary, and, excuse me, it was Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. This is on Mount Tabor. The Old Testament was still happening at that point, until Christ's crucifixion, death, and resurrection. Then the New Testament really began, if you want to say. So what happened at the New Testament? You had Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Saintly Joseph. Good, holy Joseph. And now with the new era, it's Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. And so if you could always remember venerable servant of God, Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, he would write JMJ on this blackboard. And the nuns taught us that, JMJ, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And I think now what we have to do is remember JML, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. It's the three. And remember what Jesus said in Volume 17, May 4th, 1925, the Father wanted the reflection of the Holy Trinity on earth. So under the paternity of the Father is the maternity of Mary. She reflects the Father. Jesus, Son of God, is Jesus, Son of Mary. And under the Holy Spirit is Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa. So that fulfills the prayer of the church. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics. Enkindle us the fire of your love. That's the divine will. Send forth your Spirit and we will be recreated. And then you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth through us. So that's what's coming. It's a whole new beginning for all of mankind. Because of Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. So again, it's very, very clear what Jesus is doing. He's showing us that if you have a picture of Jesus, if you have a statue of Jesus, make sure on the right hand is Mary. If you have a statue of Jesus, a picture of Jesus on the left hand, you should have a picture or statue of Louisa. I wanted to lean my left arm on you so that you may sustain it together with me and my mother. So it's the three, it's the new three, if you want to say. The Old Testament was Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. The New Testament was Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And now in the new era, it's Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. And we have to remember that. This is what God set up, not what we're setting up. And if he said anything else, then we would change it to that. But this is what he shows us. This is important to Jesus. And if you recognize what he's saying and obey what he's saying, it pleases God, and then he will show you more. If you say, it's like people, you know, Our Lady said, pray the rosary and wear the scapular. A lot of people pray the rosary, and they go, I don't want to wear the scapular. It bothers me, it itches, you know, they got many excuses. God says, fine. And therefore, they can't, it's like a disobedience to God. The commandments, you know, it's when we obey the commandments, God gives us more. When we obey the dogma and doctrine of our church, God gives us more. Because he can't get in our way when we say no. Like he couldn't get in the way of Lucifer when Lucifer said, no, I will not serve, I will not obey. So again, as you read the volumes, God is going to teach you things. And again, it's to just recognize that the Lord is happy when he can find children that want what he wants. He's happy when he finds children that want to live this abundant life. And this is what we're doing. So volume 13, 12, 3, 21. Now, living in my divine will is not only salvation, but it is sanctity, which must rise over all the other sanctities of the saints, and which must carry the seal of the divine sanctity of the Creator of God. So here Jesus is saying, this is what I gave to Louisa, and he wants to give this to us. Living in my divine will is not only salvation, not only redemption, but it is the sanctity of sanctities, which must rise over all the holiness, the sanctities of the saints. He says the sanctity of the saints are like they have halos, they have nimbuses around their head, they're like the stars in the heavens, and they surround the sun like a halo. He says, but living in the divine will is entering into the sun, participating in that sunlight which eclipses the lives of the saints. So again, we love the saints. We think they're holy, saintly, and good because they are. But now Jesus is asking us, do you want to enter into the divine sanctity of God? The seal, it must carry the seal of the sanctity of God. The stamp, the branding of the sanctity of God. We don't belong to us anymore. We don't belong to the human sanctity of the saints. So when you look at the lives of the saints, you know, the religious orders, you know, many, many people love the saints, and they follow the life of the saints, and they have the stamp, the seal of their founder or foundress. They wear the same clothes, they wear the follow the same rules. Jesus is saying with us, we have to carry the seal of the sanctity of God. Who has that seal of the sanctity of God but Louisa? God has to see Louisa in us. And I hear many people talking about the divine will, and it's almost as if they have a hard time talking about Louisa because they say, I want to live it. I possess this gift. And no, this is Louisa's gift. And I think the seal, who carries the seal of the sanctity of God, you have to have the seal that God gave to Louisa. It has to be Louisa. Therefore, minor sanctities, so that's the lives of the saints, were to come first as the cortege cortege, bearers, messengers, preparations for this divine sanctity, which is fully divine. It's not just partially divine, fully divine. And just as in redemption, I, God, chose my incomparable mother as the link of connection between with me, from which the fruits of redemption had to descend, I, God, chose you, Louisa, as the link of connection which the divine sanctity of living in my divine will was to have its beginning. A divine sanctity which coming out from my most holy divine will to bring me the complete glory and the purpose for which mankind was created in order to make mankind come back along the same steps of my divine will in order to return to his creator. So this is what he's saying. This is what he asks. He says, so just as the redemption, I chose my mother. Now I choose you, Louisa, if coming from my divine will to bring me complete glory and the purpose for which I created man. Okay, so the purpose for which God created man was to live in the womb of the Father. That's what God's saying. And what he's asking is that everyone come back to the womb of the Father. So he says, basically, as for redemption, Mary was chosen. Now for sanctification, Louisa is chosen. And the whole purpose of sanctification is to come back, to return back to God, to return back to the womb of the Father, full circle, from God and coming back to God. So this is not about being good and holy and saintly. It's about entering into divinity. That's what God is looking for. So he says, what is your wonder then? And that's why, you know, we should have, he says, don't be overwhelmed. Don't be amazed about what I'm going to do. He says, what is your wonder? Why are you amazed by this? Why are you overwhelmed by this? These things, now this is the important, these things have been established from eternity, and no one shall be able to move them. So what does that say? Is that everything in the church. Now, let's just think about that. What happened in the Old Testament, what happened when Jesus was on earth, the priests said, no, this is what our religion is. This is what we believe. And Jesus would say, I'm going to teach you about the Messiah. I'm going to teach you about a new beginning. I'm going to teach you about redemption. And the chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees said, no, this is how we live. This is what we want. And, you know, after Christ's crucifixion, death, and resurrection, because that's who killed them was the priests, killed him was the priests, what happened to the apostles? They stood their ground, and then they went to Rome, okay? And from Rome to all the world, okay? In a similar way, this is what's happening with the divine will. The divine will, you have the priests, the bishops, the cardinals, who are saying, this is what our faith is about. This is what we believe. This is how we're going to live. And there's a lot that have said no to what God wants. And you can see this with what's going on right now. But what Jesus is saying is we have to begin to live like the apostles did. Okay, so again, those four stages. The being in the house with the windows closed, that's Protestantism. They believe in Jesus. Oh, we worship God. We praise God. We glorify God. No, you sing and you dance well and you love Jesus. But the windows aren't open. You haven't looked outside. You haven't looked at the sun. You haven't looked at the light that the church has. We have the sacraments. We have the sacramentals. We have our Blessed Mother. We have the Vicar of Christ on earth. You know, we can receive Jesus every day if we wish, body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ in the Holy Eucharist. So the church is, the windows are open. Okay, that light is coming in. God is giving us the sacraments and the sacramentals. We can grow a plant in our window if we wish. But the third stage is going outside into the sun, walking outside as if you were in the Garden of Eden, where we begin, his, Jesus said in Vine 36, to use our senses to see God, to smell God, to taste God, to touch God, to enter into this life of God. Our five senses are very, very important, that we experience the I love you of God in all of creation. And the whole reason for that, that's the book of heaven. When we read the book of heaven, we are outside. We're experiencing the life that Jesus lived, that Mary lived. We're participating in this life of the divine will that God gave to Louisa. But the whole reason for that is to let go of everything and to enter into the Son, to look at the Son and enter into the Son. And again, no one has done this. The first one, the only one who has done, and only human, born of original sin, is Louisa. Jesus lived it. Mary lived it. Jesus, the Son of God, Mary, the Mother of God. But Louisa possessed this. The first one next to Louisa, she says in her three appeals, will be the Holy Father. You need a man and a woman. He has the keys to the kingdom. He's going to open the door of heaven. And everyone, the Buddhists, the Hindus, the Muslims, the Protestants, the Jews, everyone is going to become Catholic. They're going to enter into this universal life. We go back to the womb of the Father. So to get there, you can't be a Protestant. To get there, you've got to be a Catholic. You've got to be open to the truth. If you say no, say for example, you say no to Humanae Vitae, God says, fine, I can't give you any more. If you say no to the dogma and doctrine of our faith, God says, fine, this is where you have told me, God, to stop, and I obey. But when we're obedient to the Catholic Church, when we're open to the dogma and doctrine of our faith, then what does he say? He says, here's the book of heaven. Read it. And now if we say, well, I'll read it as much as I want, I'll go outside for a little bit and then come back in and close the windows. Go outside for a little bit, go back. Jesus says, I want you out in the garden. That's what he said to Louisa in Volume 26. He says, this garden is the simile of the Garden of Eden. And you, Louisa, are the third Eve. So when we begin to understand what God is saying to us, he's asking us to participate in as much as we want or as little as we want, 30, 60, or 100 fold. That's what he's asking. He's saying, do you want this? Do you want this gift? So when we see this, he says, these things are established in eternity, and no one shall be able to move them. No one will be able to stop this. This is the great thing. You know, we all strive to be saints, and we're failures at it. But what we know is the divine will is going to happen because God's going to do it. The more we live in our nothingness, the more, he says, entering into that which has been established from an eternity to be linked to Louisa, he says, he will do it. God's going to do it. And that's exactly what St. Louis de Montfort says. In the final days, will be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world, and it's nothing that they have done but what God has done for them. So God is looking at us and he's saying, do you understand what I'm doing, giving you the book of heaven? Do you understand that it's up to you, as much as you want or as little as you want? And nobody is going to convince you. Either you do it or you don't. You read it or you don't. And then he says, this is the best part. If you go to your room, close the door and pray. If you spend time alone with me, I will teach you. I will personally teach you. And he says this through Louisa in the three appeals. He says, I will touch your mind that you will understand this, and I will touch your heart that you will love it. So the Lord says this, and again, the Lord is asking us, do we believe it or not? If we believe it, wonderful. This is the best thing that could ever happen. The next step is then cooperating. Okay, I believe this. Now I have to agree to it. And the more that you say yes to this, the more God can teach you. But as soon as you doubt, as soon as you're worried, as soon as you're fearful, as soon as you're anxious, as soon as you're complaining, God backs away. He says, I'm not part of that. It's peaceful, joyful, and happy. Our Lady never doubted. Our Lady, she couldn't doubt. She's the mother. She could have doubted, but she didn't. She's the mother of God, Theotokos. Even at the cross, she trusted God. She trusted the Father. Even though she knew the Father wanted Jesus dead, and she agreed with the Heavenly Father. Son, I want you dead. I want you dead, crucified. She sacrificed her son. Luisa isn't the Blessed Mother, but Luisa has the life that Our Lady gave to her, the life that Jesus gave to her as the new Adam, as the new Eve, to bring to her a new beginning. So again, God looks at us, he pleads with us, he asks us to give us our yes, our fiat, and the more that we do this, the better it is for us and for the world. See, because everything's going to change. Time has really come to an end. Time has really, really come to an end. So he needs us to cooperate. He needs us to give our yes. So volume 14, 9, 24, 22, and I, how could I clothe you? I have nothing. So Jesus says to Luisa, clothe me. And he added, indeed, you can clothe me. You have my whole divine will in your power. Who has the divine will in her power? You? Me? No. Luisa. The whole divine will is in your power. Absorb it within you and then release it. So God is teaching us. Absorb the divine will in us. Okay, this is the 36 volumes. And then release it. You shall make me the most beautiful garment, a garment of heaven, a garment that's divine. Oh, how warm shall I, God, be. I shall clothe you, Luisa, with a garment of my divine will. So that's one of the things we can pray for. Jesus, clothe me with the garment of the divine will. So we can be clothed with one single uniform. This is why I want it from you, so that I, God, may give it to you with divine justice. And if you, Luisa, clothe me, it is fair that I clothe you to repair you, repay you for what you have done for me. All the evil in man is that he has lost the seed of my divine will. Therefore, he does nothing but cover himself with the greatest crimes, which degrade him and make him act like a madman. Oh, how many follies there are about they are about to commit. Fair penalty, since they want to have their own self as God. So because Luisa possesses this gift, I mean, then think about this. We go to Luisa. Luisa, teach me how to do this. Teach me, number one, how to have the divine will in my power. Teach me how to be clothed with this garment that you are clothed with, that Jesus is clothed with, that Our Lady is clothed with. It's to go back to what Adam had before the fall. Adam was clothed in divinity. And when he denied God, when he committed the original sin, he was naked. He lost the clothing of divinity. Jesus now wants to clothe us in divinity. He's asking us, through Luisa, that if, when we go to Luisa, that she will begin to bring this about. So it says very clearly. He says, I will repay you for what you have done for me. All evil is in man. Why? Because he's lost the seed of the divine will. He covers himself with the greatest crimes. He degrades himself and makes himself act like a madman. How many follies are they about to commit? Fair penalty, since they want their own self as God. So again, what the Lord is looking and asking of us, he's saying, let me be your Lord, let me be your master, let me be your king, let me teach you, let me lead you, let me guide you. This is what it means when we go to our room, close the door, and pray. As you read the volumes, God is teaching you how to begin to live the way he has planned from the beginning. Don't get in his way. You know, don't limit God. Say to the Lord, I want what you gave to Luisa. I want you to teach me as you taught Luisa. And see, these words that you read are filled with divine lives. These words that you read They're not human. They're divine. And as you read this, as you study this, he expands your capacity. Every time that you read, he expands your capacity with a divine reality. So again, with our intellect, memory, and will, we begin to think with the mind of Christ. We begin to remember what Jesus said, especially with the Book of Heaven. And then we can allow God to reign in us, that our will, we surrender to him, and then he gives to us his most holy divine will. So we'll end there in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.